Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I can think of no greater subject to preach on than Jesus. Can I get an amen right there? Matter of fact, the Bible said this, dealing with Jesus, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And everything that's preached, everything that's sung about, everything that's wrote about ought to make a beeline to the life of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the whole Bible is wrapped up in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is saying he's going to come and here's what's going to happen. And the New Testament is saying he came and here's what happened. And he's coming again and here's what's going to happen when he comes back. Amen. Look with me in John chapter number 1, and I'll let you remain seated tonight. But know what the Bible said. John's talking to us. I'm reading one verse. John chapter number 1, verse number 29. The Bible said this in John chapter number 1, verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look in verse number 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon, look what they was looking upon. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, I'm not going to preach on this thought out of verse number 36, but there is a thought right there on what are you looking at tonight? What was they looking at? They was looking at Jesus, amen? And if we'll keep our eyes on him and not everybody else, our life sure will go a whole lot better. But know what he said in verse number 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Father, I love you. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've said this many times, but let me echo it again. If you're new to Christianity or you're wanting to know more about the Lord, I would encourage you to get in the book of John and read the book of John, the gospel according to John. Now, we also know, my grandpa would say it this way, there's first little John, second little John, and third little John. At the closing of the New Testament, there's first, second, and third John. But the gospel of John deals with who Jesus is. Matter of fact, you'll find one of the key themes or the key verses in the book of John is chapter number 20 and verse number 31, where the Bible said this, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You'll find one of the key themes throughout the gospel of John is eternal, or is Jesus is the Christ, believe and live. Jesus is the Christ, believe and live. In chapter number 1 through chapter number 6, there is opportunity in the book of John. In chapter 12 through chapter, or chapter 7 through chapter 12, there is opposition in the book of John. But in chapter 13 through 21, there is the outcome in the book of John. And can I say this to you tonight? They may have been some opposition, but I know what the outcome is. Amen. This man named Jesus came, lived and died and rose again one third and glorious morning, and ascended back into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf. Amen. So you see the outcome in the book of John. Now note what the the Bible said. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. He is dealing with Jesus Christ. When studying the book of John, it's very interesting to note how John, in chapter number 1, names Jesus as being or as having different names, if I could say it that way. Note in verse number 1, in verse number 14, there is the Word and it is reproducing. Note what the Bible said in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, here is the Word, and the Word is reproducing. I thought about this. When you look at the Word here in chapter number 1, Jesus is known as the Word. You'll see the eternal Word in verse number 1 and 2, because He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said in verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. What was Jesus' beginning? He's always been. Well, let me say that again. What was the beginning of Jesus? He's always been. Matter of fact, let me read you a verse. Chapter number 8 says this. Chapter number 8 of the book of John, verse number 58, says this. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, watch this, I am. So there is the eternal Word, but there is the creative Word in verse number 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, Jesus had a hand in creation just as God did. And then there's the incarnate Word in verse number 14. The Bible said this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word incarnate simply means this. It's something that is made flesh, and the Word of God, Jesus Christ, God was made flesh in Jesus Christ. So whenever you study John, the first chapter, there's the Word reproducing. But watch this. There is the light revealing. Look in verse number 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Who is the light referring to? It's referring to Jesus Christ. In verse number 20, there's the Christ residing. In verse number 29, there's the Lamb redeeming. In verse 34, there's the Son of God representing. In verse 38, there's the Master receiving. In verse 49, there's the King reigning. And in verse 51, there is the Son of Man remaining. So all throughout the first chapter of the book of John, there's one emphasis, and that is Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, the emphasis of the whole Word of God is tonight, it's Jesus Christ tonight. Let me tell you where you'd be without Jesus Christ tonight. You'd be in hell tonight or on your way to hell if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now note what He says in verse 29, and we'll look at the Lamb tonight. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I thought about this. When you think about the Lamb, there is the Lamb's blood redeeming in the Bible. It was the Lamb's blood that redeems us tonight. It's not our blood. It's not our righteousness. It's not anything we can do on our own, but it is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to the book of Revelation, you'll find there is the Lamb's book revealing in the book of Revelation. You see, He'll pull out the Lamb's book of life to see whether our name is written in the book or not. Thank God, I'm glad that when He pulls out the Lamb's book of life, it will reveal Jonathan Allen Barr in the Lamb's book of life. I thought about this. There's the Lamb's blood redeeming. There's the Lamb's book revealing. But there's also, when you come to the book of Revelation, there is the Lamb's bride rejoicing. I believe everybody needs to go home and go back to bed tonight. It's the Lamb's bride rejoicing. In the book of Revelation, they're gathered around the throne of God and they're praising God up for who He is. I want to say something to you tonight. The angels do not know how to praise God the way we will praise God. And you say, why? Because those angels are a created being and they've always been in heaven. They know nothing about sin and they know nothing about mercy and grace. Oh, but when we get to heaven and we lay our eyes on the darling Lamb of God, there will be a rejoicing that takes place by the Lamb's bride because He who died for our sins, we will behold Him eye to eye and face to face. So there's the Lamb's blood redeeming, the Lamb's book revealing, the Lamb's bride rejoicing. But know what He said in verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God. And I've used some of this from here on out before. Behold the Lamb of God. What did John see that day? It wasn't just any person that day that he saw. John recognized a distinctive difference in the man that was walking up that day. I wonder how many people had walked by John that day. And Brother Rodney, if you give me a little bit more monitor tonight, I'd appreciate it. I wonder how many people John had already saw that day walking by. How many had already come by? Maybe John had even spoke to that day. The day before he had been baptized. And I wonder how many people he had baptized. And how many people he had seen. But all of a sudden, there's somebody different walked in on the scene. Are you in? There was somebody different walked in on the scene. Ah, that word behold right there. You've heard me say it before. Brother Tom Hayes said years ago, that word means looky, looky. What John was saying that day was looky, looky. This is not just any ordinary man right here. And can I say something to you tonight? Jesus was not just any ordinary man that day. Well, know what he saw that day. Number one, I would say this. Whenever you look at this, he says, behold, look at the Lamb. Number one, I would say this. John saw a sacrifice that day. John saw the sacrifice that day. He said it was the Lamb of God. My mind, whenever I read that, immediately runs back up to the book of Exodus chapter number 12. And I've got a message I preach on the Lamb out of Exodus chapter number 12. And I use this as an introduction into that, what I'm giving you tonight. But that in Exodus chapter number 12, the death angel is passing by, and the Bible, as we read the Bible, it tells us that in order for the Egyptians firstborn, or the Israelites firstborn to escape that, the blood had to be applied. And the way that they got the blood that day, it was by taking the blood of a lamb and placing it on the doorpost that day. Matter of fact, it talks about a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. Thank God, I'm glad there was a potential sacrifice. Hey, Lamb, I'm glad that there was a public sacrifice, the Lamb, but I sure am thankful it was a personal sacrifice because He said it was your Lamb. I'm glad that Jesus came to die for you, and I'm glad that Jesus came to die for the sin of the whole world. But even more than that, I'm thankful Jesus came to die for me. It was a very personal sacrifice that day. Matter of fact, whenever you study it out, you'll find in Exodus chapter number 12, John saw a sacrifice that day. He talks about the Lamb. In Exodus chapter number 12, you'll find this out. You'll find out that it talks about if the household be too small for the Lamb, let him take another household with him. Go home and read it tonight. You'll get blessed. Here's what I see in that, Brother Ramsey. Nowhere does it say if the lamb be too small for the household. You'll get a hold of that in a minute. Nowhere does it say anything about the lamb being too small for the household. Let me tell you the reason why the lamb has never been too small. Thank God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, amen, he saw a sacrifice that day in the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only saw a sacrifice that day, but watch this. He said, behold the Lamb. Now watch what he says of God. He saw the sovereign that day. You see, it wasn't just any old individual. He said, this is the Lamb of God. What did he say in verse number 14 of this same chapter? I've already made reference to him, but he said this. He said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, that day when John looked up and saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he did see a sacrifice. But he saw the sovereign that day. He saw God incarnated into man. It wasn't just any old individual. You say, well, what was it? It was Jesus. It wasn't just any ordinary man walking down the street that day. Any ordinary man couldn't do what he was fixing to do. Yes, this is the introductory part of the life of Christ. His ministry of 3.5 years is getting ready to start. And John says, hey, wait, just before all of that starts, and before he starts healing the sick and raising the dead and making the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the blind to see, I want you to understand something about this man walking down the road. This is God that we're looking at right here. He saw the sovereign that day. He saw the sacrifice that day. I'm not going to preach long just because I'm tired and hungry. Number three, watch this. He saw a substitute that day. He saw, and this is really what I wanted to get to. I might preach an hour here. He saw a substitute that day. He said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John saw a substitute that day. Because, you know, the Bible said this, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. What did he say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away what? The sin of the world. In other words, from Adam to the last man ever born, he said, this man right here is the substitute for sin's penalty. You know what a substitute is? Just very simply put tonight, here's what a substitute is. A substitute is someone that stands in your place. It's someone that stands in your place. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Miss Gay, you tell me if I'm wrong, but aren't you a substitute teacher? And when Miss Gay goes in to substitute, that means that, hypothetically speaking, a Haley would be out and Miss Gay would stand in her place. Hear me and hear me well. That day, you know what John was saying? John was saying this. The man that's supposed to be there paying our sin debt is us ourselves. We should have been on the cross. We should have died. We should have went to hell. But aren't you thankful tonight that we had a substitute that said, I'm willing to leave the portals of glory. I'm willing to go to earth. I'm willing to bleed and suffer and die. I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to have sin debt put on me. I'm willing to face separation from the Father. Why so you and so I could be brought back into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the substitute that day in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about anybody else, but if that don't help you, you're probably lost and going to hell. There was a substitute. We should have went to Calvary. We should have died. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. That's all that it is tonight. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Oh, but aren't you glad now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above? Hey, I know a lot of times we use that in an application of serving God. Oh, but he was able to go exceedingly abundantly above because he was the only one that never sinned the first time, never said the first crossword, never messed up the first time. He was the only sinless man that ever lived. And when he walked up on the scene, John said, there's a sacrifice. There's a sovereign. Oh, but thank God, he said, there's a substitute that will stand in my place. I'll give you one more thing in closing. He said, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He saw the sovereign that day. He saw the sacrifice that day. He saw the substitute that day. Here's what he saw that day. This is just the Lamb. He talks about the Word, the Light, the Christ. He talks about the Son of God, the Master, the King, the Son of Man. This is just the Lamb. This is just the Lamb. Here's what he saw. He saw through the scope of time. He saw through the scope of time that day. John could have said this, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of us here on the banks of the Jordan. That's not what John said. John could have said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins from Adam to us. But that's not what he said. John could have said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of just this time period or just that. You know what he said? He said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. John could have said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of Israel. That was God's chosen people. But he came to his own received him not. Amen. Aren't you thankful that he just didn't call out Israel? But aren't you thankful that he said the sins of the world and us bunch of Gentile dogs? That's what we are tonight. When you study the Word of God out, we're just a bunch of unworthy, worthless Gentile dogs tonight. But aren't you thankful that John didn't say it was just Israel or it was just this or that? But he said it was the sin of the whole world. He looked through the scope of time and said, this man is the one that'll take the sins away of the whole world tonight. He saw through the scope of time. I thought about this as Miss Tanya comes and starts playing softly. I thought about this. We've all heard that song, while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You know what? Tonight I really believe that with all of my heart. I really believe that Jesus knows past time, present time, future time, all at the same time. Amen. Past time, present time, future time, all at the same time. I really believe that Jesus knew exactly how we would treat him. Exactly the way that we would be, exactly the way that we would act, exactly the ways or the times that we wouldn't be faithful to him, wouldn't be faithful to him. Then just to be honest, I'm going to get in trouble right here, but it'd be all right. Just to be honest, really wasn't faithful in worship the way we ought to be tonight. I've just preached about Jesus. I've preached about the man that's given you everything that you've got. I've preached about the man that allowed you to escape hell tonight. Some sits and their mind's nowhere close being at church. It's over here, it's over yonder, it's, well man, it's time. It's just 10 minutes till 7. Our minds everywhere else. And you know what? Jesus knew every bit of that, but was still willing to lay his life down and to sacrifice himself so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. He saw through the scope of time tonight and loved us. I don't know about anybody else in the church tonight, but I sure am thankful for Jesus. I sure am thankful for Jesus, who he is, what he's done. Amen. Hey, look, we couldn't have a relationship with God if it wasn't for him. You know, there wasn't, but in that Old Testament, there's very few that ever got in the presence of God. They had to go into that holies of holies. That high priest was the only one allowed in there once a year, and the Shekinah glory of God would come down. But now, because of Jesus, the veil of the temple's been rent from top to bottom, and we're allowed access into the holies of holies, and we get to sit in the presence of God. God gets to walk with us. God gets to talk with us. God helps us along life's way. All of it is a result of Jesus. It's nothing we've done. It's a result of Jesus tonight. We got the Holy Spirit living inside of us now. Amen. The Holy Spirit dwelt in a tabernacle in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Hear me tell you, when the Holy Spirit came, after Jesus died, after he was buried, after he resurrected, and after he ascended into the heavens, because he said, it's expedient for me to go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And John's the one that tells us that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. It's all because of Jesus tonight. We are who we are because of Jesus tonight. We're saved because of Jesus. We're in our right mind because of Jesus. We're washed in the blood because of Jesus. We have access to God because of Jesus. It's all because of Him.